T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Starts.
Yeah, I saw what you're starting. You're supposed to.
I thought we were, but like,
I thought we were gonna start this like an hour and a half ago, so we got to start it right now.
I am back, baby. You know it.
Big Steve's tired, man. I am.
Yeah, Big Steve's all right. Big Steve's okay.
Not ready for bed. Welcome into the Forced to Punt podcast. It's been a few weeks. We were talking, you know, it's NFL offseason, but we're going to try to get this thing back up and rolling. We know everybody's desperate for sports right now. Everybody's desperate for fantasy content. I've already had people, all these dynasty leagues that I'm in, I've already had people just pestering me about trades. So I should probably start actually looking into my dynasty leagues. But I'm Steven Serta, Dusty Likens. Of course, as always.
Still here.
Just crushing the champagne and beer right now.
That's right. Miller High Life, baby. You know it. Existed since 1903.
See, you're excited about, you know,
being on the radio.
Yeah. And I understand that you haven't been there in a while.
Yeah.
I still have to go into the station every day. I only see like two people. It's nice. Kind of.
That's real nice. It'd be better if you only saw one person.
Yeah, because I don't have to deal with anybody for the most part. But I do still have to go to the station every day. You are not going to the station right now, and you have not been on the air because you host our nights and weekends generally, and so you haven't been there in a while.
Yeah.
So I know you're like juice to like get back to the studio and have everything be easy and not have to do these remote podcasts anymore. I don't see a scenario where I don't want to do this remotely so I can just sit at home and drink beer while we do it moving forward.
I kind of felt like you're gonna be like, I'm not so as much juice to see you come back. Like it's been nice that you popping in and asking me random questions about what kind of food I'm gonna eat tonight or something.
I've been cooking so much.
Oh man, have you seen my tweets? Cooked a filet last weekend. Perfect.
Nice. Nice.
Even Bob Fesco liked it. But that guy hates everything I do. That's a lie. That's not. I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding.
Bob loves you.
That guy's got a huge snake in his yard that scared the hell out of me too.
All right, but we should probably get to it.
Yeah.
So
no, you're good. Yeah.
The NFL draft was this past week. Thankfully. We finally had some sports content, some live sports content that we could all get excited about, and it was awesome.
Can I say this? They nailed that, by the way.
No, they really did. They really did. Yeah, no serious hiccups.
Goodell was great.
Raj, mid-draft outfit change. I like to think that he was taking shots of tequila on the side when nobody was looking, and that's why when they came back, he was just posted up, looking like he was ready to read a book and smoke a cigar.
He literally did that on Saturday night. He sat in the leather chair and did not give a shit.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah, no,
jar of M&Ms that just kept depleting as he kept going.
The whole draft experience was fantastic.
It was great. I hope they do it that way every year. Not really, honestly, but you know.
Yeah, no, they're not going to do it that way every year.
Well, obviously, it's better than the idea they had before. When they were going to put them on a boat.
When I went to the draft in Nashville last year, there was 350,000 people that entire weekend. That's a lot of money. The NFL can
make. Yeah, you had a terrible time.
That, well, it wasn't all. It wasn't all terrible. It's. Have you ever worked an NFL draft? They're rough.
No, but I've heard your stories afterwards. You're like, it was just terrible. There were so many people. No one knew what was going on. The people I went with slept really loud.
But no, I was the one that snored really loud. Vern hated me after.
Ron got Cheez-Its everywhere.
It's
I remember talking to Vern on the air, like when you guys were driving back, and he was just like, he's like, Serta's a mouth breather. He has his laptop open with loud TV. He's just not a good friend.
Yeah, I fell asleep watching movies like a few times. But no, the NFL draft is incredible. It's fantastic. But when you're working it, it's very long, like grueling days, especially the first day. The first day you're like, all right, I'm locked into this thing for 16 hours. I can't do anything except sit here and try to get interviews, and I've been to two NFL drafts. I went to Chicago and I went to Nashville. Chiefs traded out of the first round both times. So I worked 16-hour days both times, and they didn't even have a first-round draft pick.
So Joe Burrow went first in this year's draft.
Yes, Jared Goff. When I went in Chicago, Jared Goff was the number one overall pick.
Oh, God, that sucks.
Carson Wentz was number two. That was the year they drafted Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I was in the studio when they drafted Tyreek Hill, and that was fun.
All right, but we should probably get to some fantasy players, right? The NFL draft, rookie players, a lot of rookie players landed in incredible situations. So we're going to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I'm not going to start there because I know everybody's waiting for us to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It goes without saying, if you're in a dynasty league, he's going to be your number one overall draft pick. We'll talk about him a little in depth as we get into this, but I want to make you guys wait for it. I don't want to do that right out of the gate. I want to make sure you're listening to the entire podcast because we need those downloads, we need those reviews, we need all the numbers, we need everything from you guys. So if you appreciate,
and for those of you listening to How to Do a Radio Show, this is not how you do it. This is the complete opposite.
Oh, no, if you appreciate what we do, we need all the help that we can get. So you're gonna have to sit here and wait for a little bit for the Clyde Edwards-Helaire breakdown. But some of the other running backs, obviously this is a really talented running back class. This is a really talented wide receiver class. So I want to talk about some of the other guys that landed in beneficial or questionable situations. So the top running backs outside of Clyde, I guess, it seems like they all basically landed in situations where there was already a talented player in that position. Jonathan Taylor went to the Indianapolis Colts. Marlon Mack, already a talented running back. It sucks because I have Marlon Mack in a dynasty league, and I really like Marlon Mack. And Marlon Mack was really good last year, and I think he's a talented running back. He's had injury problems. Jonathan Taylor is just going to be better than Marlon Mack, probably. Marlon Mack was a fourth-round pick. Jonathan Taylor probably should have been a first-round pick, but because he's a running back, he wound up going in the second. Jonathan Taylor's a really talented running back. J.K. Dobbins probably should have been a first-round pick. He went to the Baltimore Ravens, who have Mark Ingram, who have Gus Edwards, who have But J.K. Dobbins is going to be the best running back on that roster. Like, Mark Ingram, old. Mark Ingram's got a lot of tread on his tires. Mark Ingram's been around forever, it feels like. But it took him a few years to get going in New Orleans, and then all of a sudden he was great in New Orleans his last couple of years. I think he had suspension his last season in New Orleans, but he was good down the stretch. And then last season he was obviously fantastic for the Ravens, but they can get out of his contract after this season, so they're looking towards the future, and that's going to be J.K. Dobbins, who is, as I've said multiple times on 610, I wanted J.K. Dobbins or Clyde Edwards-Helaire if the Chiefs were going to take a running back. Like, those were the two guys that I was eyeing. that I thought fit their offensive system best. J.K. Dobbins, super, super talented player. DeAndre Swift, incredibly talented player. Got drafted by the Detroit Lions, which really sucks. They already have Kerryon Johnson, but I think at this point we can kind of say Kerryon Johnson just sucks, right?
He's out.
Like, he was not good. His only, before he got injured last season, his only productive game was against the Chiefs, and it was when the Chiefs were just giving up 100 yards a game to anyone, to anyone that was breathing, was getting 100 yards a game against the Chiefs early on in the season. DeAndre Swift, obviously more talented than Kerryon Johnson, who himself is a former high draft pick for the Detroit Lions. But it doesn't seem like any of these guys outside of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you could make the argument that he's not as well, but it's just that he's in an Andy Reid offense with Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs are arguably the best offense in the NFL. Like, you can make an argument out of all of those guys, those top four guys, they all landed in situations where they're going to have to compete for carries in all likelihood, because there's already guys there who are productive and have proven that they can be productive starters. So, like, you're not taking these guys, you know, you're not taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. Like, if you're in a dynasty league, you're taking him number one overall, in my opinion. But most of these guys, they landed in situations where it sounds like they're going to be a part of a 2-3 man committee type of approach. And the Chiefs still have Damian Williams. People were talking about today about the Chiefs trying to trade Damian Williams. You don't get value for running back. So I don't think it's in the Chiefs' benefit to trade Damian Williams. And I also don't think that Andy Reid thinks that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be his day one starter. Kareem Hunt wasn't supposed to be the day one starter, but Spencer Ware got hurt in training camp in the preseason, and that thrust Kareem Hunt into a starting role, and it obviously worked out. He wound up being the leading rusher in the NFL. But all of these guys are, for in redraft leagues, I'm questioning whether or not you can bank on these guys being productive right out of the gate, because they're all in situations where there's other talented running backs at that position.
Yeah, who did Green Bay draft? Because that's another situational running back.
He's a fullback. He's not taking carries from Jones. He's a running back, but people think that he's going to like wind up being a fullback. Screw that guy. Screw Green Bay. Screw Matt LaFleur. Yeah. Screw the whole front office. Screw all of them.
I love it.
No.
So it wasn't Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I guess everybody hates Aaron, man. I guess everybody hates Aaron. Just bleep Aaron, or just we're gonna burn this whole thing to the ground. The last couple of years that we have of one of the greatest, most talented quarterbacks that anybody's ever seen, we're just gonna burn everything to the ground.
Maybe he is an ass.
I'm sure he is. But he's good enough to be an ass. Tom Brady's an ass. Tom Brady deserves to have say in these types of things. Aaron Rodgers deserves to have say in these types of things. Brett Veach said he called Patrick Mahomes. Who do you want? He said Clyde. Who'd they take? Clyde.
It's a little vague. He asked him, out of these two, who would you like? And Mahomes said Clyde. Also, I don't know, man. I just feel like Aaron Rodgers might be just a dick. And I don't know. Tom Brady has 6 Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers has 1. Tom Brady can be an ass. Aaron Rodgers, maybe not so much.
All right. Well, so out of the rookie running backs, who do you like most? Like, obviously Clyde. Clyde's got to be highest on the list, right? Like, without a doubt, because
he's number one for me. But we got to get to that later. But and I think his situation is going to be just like Kareem Hunt's was. I think Damian Williams. Anyways, we'll get to that a little bit later. Not like Dobbins, man. I just like that offense. I think that the way the Ravens drafted, the way the Ravens are set up for like the next, what, 5 years, and the way that they move the ball, the way that they are a run first option, like Mark Ingram, like you said, is a little bit older. There's chances Mark Ingram's going to miss some games. Who's going to step up? Probably the young rookie in Dobbins, who's going to be a powerful running back, kind of similar to the way Ingram runs. He's kind of a miss first, run downhill type of runner, but I think Dobbins is a little bit better in the pass catching scheme. I'm excited to see how the Ravens really use him, and he's a guy that I wouldn't let go too far in the draft. I know that we were kind of giddy on rookies last year in the running back situation. I think one obviously was Darwin Thompson. Obviously, it's a different situation than Dobbins, but yeah, I just like Dobbins, and I like that situation with John Harbaugh and the way that he uses the run first. I like how Lamar Jackson spreads the ball around. And I'm telling you, man, the Ravens are going to be a dynamite run first type of team. And they got the offensive line, they've got the weapons, and they can just kind of spread the ball out evenly. And even if Dobbins only gets, you know what, 10 touches a game, he can make those very, very productive touches anytime he did.
There's literally no argument to be made that the number one challenger in the AFC to the Chiefs is the Ravens. Like,
for the next 5 years, for sure it is.
The Ravens have loaded up on both sides of the ball. Like, they still have questionable, you know, receivers, but their running game is so incredibly talented that they can utilize it in ways that, like, Andy Reid utilizes Patrick Mahomes' capabilities. Like Lamar.
Yeah, and they don't use receivers like they do.
Yeah, yeah, and the way that they do it. And, you know, and if Hollywood Brown takes a big step forward, like, he's by far the best receiver. Mark Andrews is one of the five best tight ends in the NFL. Like, Mark Ingram did have – he had just over 1,000 yards last year. He had 10 touchdowns. He slowed down a ton on the back half of the season. Yeah, he slowed down a ton. He got hurt towards the end of the season, but he slowed down a bunch. At the beginning of the season, he was being completely dominant. Are we for real right now? Are we for real right now?
Yeah. He got hurt. He was completely dominant. I'm there.
Yeah, you couldn't set the microphone down while you're rummaging for beers.
Sorry, you cut out. What'd you say?
Mark Ingram was absolutely fantastic last year, but he is turning 30 years old. He's the same age as me. He's a couple months younger than me, actually.
Unnecessary. But that's the turn of the century in the NFL, right? 30's that's the top of the hill, man. After that, it's not good normally.
If I was looking at any of these guys in, you know, standard redraft leagues, yeah, Clyde's number one, but I think that Dobbins, just because of offensive potential with Baltimore, like they set all kinds of offensive records last year. I don't think that they're going to be able to do the exact same thing. Teams are going to adjust. They've got a ton of tape on it now. They're going to figure it out. But I think the Ravens are one of the most analytically minded organizations in the NFL. They're going to find new ways to scheme that up and use it to their advantage. And I think that Dobbins is really, really intriguing from a rookie running back standpoint. Like, you would love to find in your fantasy drafts, you would love to find, you know, the year that Kareem Hunt came into the league. If you did your draft after Spencer Ware got hurt, you knew you were getting, like, Kareem Hunt went from a fifth round pick to a second round pick because you knew you were going to get a, like, every down running back. I don't think that you can project any of these guys in standard redraft leagues right now as a, you know, second round pick, late first round pick. I don't think you can project a single one of them that way because of the situations that they find themselves in. And this is obviously the approach that just every top NFL team right now, they're taking this approach. You just can't ever have too many offensive weapons because when the best team in the NFL is the Chiefs, and they can put up 40 points a game and there's nothing you can do about it, then you better go out and you better get 5, 6, 7 guys that can score touchdowns on any given play. And so that makes it hard to project for fantasy. I'm generally curious to see how this season kind of shapes up because it feels like this is the first time in a long time where there isn't like one rookie that I feel like I could point to and be like, that guy has the potential to be a league winner if I get him in the third round as a rookie because he's that talented. Like when I the year that Kareem Hunt came out, I got Kareem Hunt in like the fifth or the sixth round of a fantasy draft, and it was incredible value at the time because Spencer Ware got hurt like a week later. I don't know that any of these top running backs in a really, really talented running back class. I'm just curious how it's all going to shape out because they all seem to be a part of a committee type of approach where there's going to be at least one other guy, if not two other guys, who are going to get carries and be involved in the offense. And especially with those guys, if they're on Super Bowl contending teams and they're struggling to pick up an NFL offense, I just don't know how effective they're going to be fantasy-wise.
It's also interesting because we don't know how much like preseason work they're going to get in either. So I don't know, like, where they're going to, like, gel into that, like, offensive system like you would if you had a normal preseason of football, like a normal offseason, normal OTAs, team stuff like that. They're not going to have that, which I know that can be kind of, like, one of those, like, there you go. It can be, like, one of those, like, random things where, you know, people get tired of hearing it that, you know, because of COVID-19, the teams aren't going to be able to, like, you know, gel right away, and that you want to look at guys that, you know, maybe weren't drafted this year, that maybe guys that have been in their system, like Nyskov, like whenever Marlon, like where Marlon Mack's at, like Marlon Mack already knows the system. He's going to have an upper edge even more so than he already does. But man, I don't know. The Ravens are going to turn the ball over a lot on defense, and that offense is going to get a lot of opportunities inside the red zones. And it just makes me think a lot of volume's there for Dobbins.
I just think, I think the approach that I'm going to take to this rookie running back class that is seriously talented, I feel like I'm going to take the approach that I normally take to wide receivers, which is I normally in most of my fantasy drafts, I vary in strategy depending on how the players fall or whatever. But generally what I want to do is, you know, get my running backs early. And then I always have faith that I can fill it in with wide receivers. You know, last year I did it with Cortland Sutton and DJ Chark and a lot of other guys who like Terry McLaurin, like guys that, you know, I took swings on and they wound up being really talented. They wound up being like really productive fantasy players. Like this feels like a year where I'm going to have to do that with the rookie class. Like I'm just going to have to. The guys that fall to me, like if J.K. Dobbins, for whatever reason, falls to me in the 9th round of a draft, then I'd be happy with that. And I'd take him there. But I'm not taking J.K. Dobbins in the 5th round of a draft.
No, I wouldn't.
Like I'm not
I don't
taking,
think people
I'm
are going to take him
Jonathan,
that early either.
I'm not taking Jonathan Taylor. Like someone in one of your leagues, you know, we're Kansas City natives. Someone in one of your leagues is going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the 2nd or 3rd round. That's fine.
I would take him in the second.
I think Clyde is going to be awesome.
I think he's going to be a first round pick.
I don't think that he'll be a first round pick. Not in a standard redraft league. In a dynasty league, he should be the number one overall pick. But in a standard redraft league, I don't believe so. I think PPR, you could make an argument that he should jump a little bit higher. But, I mean, being where we are, like, you know, almost every draft that I did last year, being in Kansas City and doing drafts with Kansas City fans, people were taking Patrick Mahomes number one overall. So you have to assume, like, I'm assuming that Clyde Edwards-Helaire will never be on a fantasy team that I own.
No, I have too many Chiefs homers in my league.
Well, he's... All right, we can just go ahead and talk about Clyde. Like Clyde's going to be awesome. He's going to be awesome. He's going to be, it's, you know, argument for value of running back in the first round, whatever. We can make that argument, especially with what's going on with Bashaud Breeland right now. You know, you can make the argument they could have used that pick on a corner and it would have better suited them. And all of the numbers say that it would have been the smarter thing to do over taking Clyde. But I also have made the argument several times that the best version of the Chiefs that we saw wasn't the Chiefs that won the Super Bowl last year. It was the Chiefs in 2018 with Kareem Hunt that were completely unstoppable, that were scoring 38.5 points a game, and no one could do anything to slow them down, and that was with Kareem Hunt. Damian Williams is not that talented of a player, in my opinion. Damian Williams is fine. Damian Williams is an NFL player who deserves to be on a roster, who deserves to be in the mix with other guys. He's just not an every down type of guy. He's not a game changing player generally, but he can, you know, as we saw a couple times last year, he can break one off every now and then. There's a lot of running backs in the NFL that are capable of doing that. There's a lot of running backs in the NFL that are fast and that can hit the hole when it's there and you know, break off a long touchdown run. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is an every down type of running back. He changes their offense. The thing is, Andy Reid has not been the type of guy that generally is going to put a rookie in a situation where he's going to be an every down type of player. Kareem Hunt was not supposed to be that player. They got put in a situation where they didn't have a choice. and even down the back half of the season, if you had Kareem Hunt like I did that year, Kareem Hunt's usage rate plummeted midway through the season, and it caused some people to miss the fantasy postseason because he had a stretch of like five games that were just awful because Andy Reid just stopped using him. And I don't know if that was game script or Andy just being annoyed with things that he was doing. But Andy doesn't trust rookie players a lot. Like Mecole Hardman, last year you could make the argument Mecole Hardman was clearly more effective than Sammy Watkins, but Mecole Hardman was getting a third of the snaps, and it's because he's a rookie. So you expect that to jump up a little bit, even though they're bringing back Sammy because they're trying to make another run at a Super Bowl. Like, I don't expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire to come out and just take 75% of the snaps out of the gate. Like, it's going to be pretty close to 50-50 with him and Damian Williams.
Yeah, I think that you keep hitting the nail on the head with the Kareem Hunt comparison with, like, the Kareem Hunt year. Because, like, that's what I've been telling people because, you know, I get, you know, texts or calls from friends that are saying, you know, what's your point of view on, you know, Clyde? And it's like, I think it's the same thing with Kareem Hunt. Like, when Kareem Hunt was drafted, people were like, you know, I kind of like this pick out of Toledo. What's this guy's role going to be? It's like, well, Spencer Ware is still the running back. So unless something happens, you know, nothing's really going to happen because you could see it. Like, Kareem Hunt was going to ease his way in, start working in towards the middle of the season. And then, obviously, the beginning of the year started. They played New England in that game. Kareem Hunt set the world on fire. And then there was no turning back. I think the same situation is in play here with Clyde because I think that Damian Williams is a starter. He's earned his stripes. He's a Super Bowl-winning running back. He knows the offense better. He's a pro. He's a vet. He's been a vet for a while. But he's also injury-prone. So if he gets hurt, the next guy up isn't going to be Darrell Williams or Darwin Thompson. It's going to be Helaire. Like, that's the guy that's going to play. And the way that he can explode and the way that Patrick Mahomes can spread the ball and really use running backs like he likes to do, I mean, that's why I'm almost okay with people taking Clyde in the middle of the second round, unless they are homers and they take him in the first round. But I just think he's going to have a lot of production.
I couldn't disagree more.
And that's fine. That's fine. I think he's worth the product, because I think that if you look at what Kareem Hunt had, you can let somebody take him in the fifth round, maybe the sixth, if you think he would still be there. There's just no way, speaking in this demographic, he's going to last that long in any draft. I think he's going to go before Damian Williams.
Yeah, but it took Kareem getting that injury. And you know, I think people are going to buy into the hype that Clyde's just going to be the day one starter. And I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think that Andy is trying to get Damian Williams out of here. We heard Andy be frustrated with Damian Williams last year when Damian Williams was injured. Yeah, he was frustrated by the whole thing because Damian Williams was finally getting the opportunity to be the guy, and Damian Williams was hurt right out of the gate.
But he's always hurt.
Clyde's got to be.
It's a high risk, high reward. Me.
Sure, but a lot of guys in fantasy are. I would rather there's other guys. I would rather spend a high risk, high reward pick on CeeDee Lamb than Clyde right now, in my personal opinion. Like I would rather reach on CeeDee Lamb earlier in the draft than take Clyde in the second as a cornerstone of my team.
I just know that I would take if Clyde's there in the middle towards the end of the second round, I would take him. I just think that he has that type of upside. Damian Williams is always hurt, so the gamble's there, and that's the type of gamble that if you make that gamble, you can win your entire fantasy league.
All right, so another one of the top running backs in this draft, Jonathan Taylor. It's a stud. He's drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. They also have Marlon Mack, who had over 1,000 yards last year and was super effective. He did. He broke his hand, I think, and missed a few games down the back half of the season. For whatever reason, you know, Marlon Mack, he's a capable pass catching back, but they just don't use him that way. He's a better rusher, but he's a smaller guy. He's not a big guy that can really take beatings, and he's had injury problems. But the problem is that Jonathan Taylor's not really a pass catching back either. And so with Phil as their starting quarterback, I'm just kind of curious how both of them fit into this mix. Does this mean that Marlon Mack is going to start getting more of the receiving work? Because Nyheim Hines was kind of that guy last year. Jordan Wilkins was getting work for a while. He was in the mix quite a bit, even and when Marlon Mack went down, Jordan Wilkins was in the mix along with Hines. And what's-his-face Jonathan Taylor came in, and he was super effective down the stretch of the fantasy playoffs when Marlon Mack was hurt. Or not Jonathan Taylor, Jonathan Williams, I think was his name. But yeah, so Jonathan Williams came in. It's curious what the Colts are doing. I think the Colts had an okay draft. I think that they improved their roster. They've got Phil. I think they already have a good team. This is the best offensive line Philip Rivers has ever played behind in his entire life. It's one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. So I think that there's going to be enough work for both of those running backs to produce and be effective. I just don't know how, like, you need one receiving back. You need one guy who can catch passes out of the backfield, especially when you saw how Philip Rivers utilized Austin Ekeler last season.
Yeah, is this the year to just do handcuffs? Like, is this just the year? Like, Marlon Mack puts up enough numbers that, like, you can bank on, like, Jonathan Taylor to have, like, a small splash that can get you over the hump. I mean, I just feel like that's where this conversation is heading, is that, like, if you have Mark Ingram, maybe it's not a bad idea to go get Dobbins. If you have Marlon Mack, it's not a bad idea to go get Taylor. Yeah, and normally we say get away from handcuffs.
So are you – okay, so who are you taking first, Jonathan Taylor or Marlon Mack?
Oh, I would take Mack for sure, because I don't think Taylor would go very high.
Yeah, but you're not taking Marlon Mack with any type of confidence.
No. Well, I mean, I think he was probably like an average, like a high second rounder last year, right?
He was like a third round pick, probably.
Oh, really?
He was probably like a third or fourth round pick. A lot of people didn't have faith in him. I did. I love me some Marlon.
Okay.
Mack. He was like a third or a fourth round pick, I would
say. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in that situation, I might just let. You think Taylor goes undrafted?
No. He's 100% getting drafted.
Yeah,
so I think Marlon Mack goes first. But yeah. I think that Jonathan Taylor's like a eighth round pick. Like I don't really feel confident taking either one of them at this point. Like, they're both guys that I would avoid, I think. Which sucks because they're running behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. But you're basically if you're investing high in both of them and you're gonna take both of them, so you have one of them.
Yeah.
Then you're investing too heavily in one backfield and you're reaching on both of them in all likelihood. If you're hoping just to have one of them when they're both effective players, you're setting yourself up for failure. In my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe that situation doesn't call for a handcuff, but maybe Baltimore's does.
All right. Well, how do you feel about DeAndre Swift and the Detroit Lions? They have Kerryon Johnson, who was hurt last year. We already talked about him a little bit. He is, in my opinion, has been a very disappointing player. And they drafted DeAndre Swift. It's a bummer because I also like DeAndre Swift's game, but I don't have any faith that the Detroit Lions and Matt Patricia and all of those people are going to put him in situations to succeed. The Lions haven't had – it's impressive how bad the Lions' running backs have been since Barry Sanders.
Oh, yeah. They haven't had a good one. It's a curse.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I just take Vern's advice when it comes to anybody in Detroit. Like, as soon as that kid was drafted, Josh Furner just tweeted, God, I feel so sorry for that guy. And I've just always avoided people in Detroit. I don't like Patricia. I didn't like anybody before them. I don't like Matt Stafford. I don't like their offense. So I want nothing to do with Detroit players. I don't want any Detroit players at all. Not even Hockenson in year two. And I loved Hockenson last year. Except he had one game.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kenny Galladay, but I agree. I avoid Detroit players generally, too, because I just don't trust them. You know, it's another situation where it's not only that. Like, you could talk me into taking Clyde in the third. This or late second, like at the turn or something. If Clyde's still there,
yeah.
Final pick of the second round at the turn, you could talk me into taking Clyde right there just because it's Andy Reid and because it's Patrick Mahomes. Like DeAndre Swift, I really like his skill set. I would have been happy if the Chiefs would have taken him too, but I liked Clyde better for what the Chiefs want to do. The Chiefs want to throw the football, and Clyde's better at that. But with these guys, it's, you know, DeAndre Swift with Jonathan Taylor, it's, I have more faith in the Colts than I have in the Lions, but with DeAndre Swift, I don't have really any faith in the Lions. So how am I taking Kerryon Johnson or DeAndre Swift? Like the only thing that I would have faith in is the fact that if Matthew Stafford's healthy, Kenny Galladay is going to get like 8 or 9 touchdowns just because they're going to have to throw a lot because they're not a good football team. Like that's the only thing that I would have faith in when it comes to the Lions. I don't have faith in them in any other aspect.
Yeah, no, I just avoid them. I just don't trust them. No, I yawn.
Sound like a fart.
This isn't going to get cut out because it makes me look bad. It wasn't a fart. It was a yawn. Nothing sounded like a fart. I don't know. I avoid anything Detroit. I don't want anything to do with the Lions. The other thing, too, that you have to think about, I know this sounds annoying, six of their games are going to be against top 8 defenses in the entire NFL.
Why do you know that off the top of your head?
What?
For the Detroit Lions?
Yeah.
Are you just talking about the Vikings?
The Bears and the Packers.
Well, yeah. I don't agree with that.
All three. Okay. Well, they all three have great defenses.
The Vikings
have Bears for
the worst secondaries in the NFL last year.
As a defense as a whole, though. And it's the division. They don't
play. Are they one of the best defenses in the NFL with one of the worst secondaries in the league?
They started off with a good defense. Damn it.
The Vikings defense took a huge setback last year. And the Packers defense was actually good. Was good at the beginning of the year, and it kind of took a nosedive. Bears defense is still solid.
So I'm not taking any Detroit Lions players, Steven Serba.
All right, let's. We rambled too much. It's late. We gotta get out of here. So let's run through. Let's just talk about the guys that we want to talk about really quick, and then we'll get out of here. CeeDee Lamb going to the Dallas Cowboys and being selected number 17 overall is absolutely unbelievable. It was the biggest shock of the NFL draft. CeeDee Lamb, in my opinion,
over Ruggs.
I mean, that wasn't a shock to me because you can always sell speed. Like, you can always convince somebody to draft a guy because of speed. But, like, I would always take, like, Tyreek Hill in the 5th round is incredible because he's insanely fast. What makes Tyreek Hill a great player now? His speed, yes. But also the fact that he's become an unbelievable route runner because he's worked really, really hard at it. In the NFL, you don't have to be the fastest player in the league. You can always get open if you're a good route runner. Always. Jerry Jeudy, best route runner in the draft. Should have been the number 1 wide receiver taken off the board, in my opinion. CeeDee Lamb, second best route runner, most physically gifted wide receiver in the draft. Should have been taken before Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs is an unbelievable talent. He is a Tyreek Hill-esque game-breaker flyer. But he's also got Derek Carr as his quarterback. Like, Tyreek Hill, I'm not convinced that Tyreek Hill becomes the player that he is if Tyreek Hill doesn't come to the Chiefs and have Andy Reid. Like, even Tyreek Hill had a bunch of success with Alex Smith as his quarterback. But part of it was because of Andy Reid. Like, Henry Ruggs could be a great player, or he could be a huge flop because he's not put in the best situation to succeed.
He's Darius Hayward Bay all over again.
Yeah, like, and I'm not calling him that. I think that he's a really talented player.
No,
I would have taken CeeDee. Like, CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys offense is stupid. Like Dak.
Hell yeah.
Dak might give Pat a run for MVP next season. Like his offense is gonna, be that good.
Okay.
His offensive line's better. Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Zeke. Like that's a formidable offense. I am above average offensive line on the Dallas Cowboys. Their offensive line is still better than the Chiefs' offensive line.
Oh yeah,
Travis Frederick did retire, so they might take a step back there.
Yeah,
it's stupid that CeeDee fell to the Cowboys, but that should be the approach though. When you're going up against the Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champions, Well, if we got to put up 40 a game, we need five or six guys that could score at any given moment. Because that's what the Chiefs have.
Yep. You can't double cover everybody.
So what do you think the fantasy potential of CeeDee Lamb is with that offense?
I think you can do what Sutton did in Denver last year.
I think that CeeDee Lamb is better than Amari Cooper. I don't think that he necessarily will be this season, but I think that long term, CeeDee Lamb is the best wide receiver on that team.
Yeah, there's a possibility he'd be the best receiver in this draft. Man, I don't know. I think he could do a lot of what like DJ Shark did last year. I think he could have a type of comparable year to like Cortland Sutton, DJ Shark, those type of guys. I think you can put up those kind of numbers. He can explode quickly, and he can become a favorite target really, really fast with Dak. So those are my expectations for CeeDee Lamb, even though I like Jerry Jeudy and his situation with our guy Drew.
All right, so let's talk about that before we get out of here. We talked about it on the last podcast. Yeah. I love what the Denver Broncos are doing. People have gotten mad at me because I'm not supposed to talk about another team in the AFC West like this. I care about good football.
Yeah.
I care about scoring points. I care about guys that change games. I care about guys that flip the field in an instance. And the Broncos got a bunch of dudes that can do that. The Broncos got a bunch of cats that can score and put up points for my fantasy football team. And I am fucking about it.
Oh, dude, you want to talk about a team with an offense. You listed Dallas's offense. On this offense, you have Sutton, Jeudy, Gordon, Lindsey, Fant, Drew. I mean, good God, man. That team could potentially, they're not going to, but they can keep up with the Chiefs a little bit better now because they actually do have a pretty legit defense still. Now, they did lose a couple big corners on that team, but they did gain one, right?
Their defense has improved, in my opinion.
Correct. And so, like, their defense can keep them in games better. They were 4-1 with Drew Lock last year in the last five games. Of course, the only game they lost was the snowball that Mahomes had, where he just showed that he was immortal to everybody else in the NFL. But Drew's going to sling it. He's got plenty of targets to sling it. And that team believes in Drew. And that's all they need. Now, the tape is out on Drew Lock, which is a little unfortunate for him, but that's just the way the NFL and professional sports go. Once you played, people know how to do it. But Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton on both sides. Plus, I think they draft another receiver. I can't think of his name right now. Was he out of Kentucky? Was that the kid they took?
No, they did. He's a flyer. I don't have his name off the top of my head right now either.
He's just a go get it.
He's a flyer. Yeah, he's a guy. He's like a 4-3 guy.
But he's also got two running backs back there. And as long as he can be protected by that offensive line that's got some questions, I really like a lot of options in Denver's offense because I think that that's what they're going to do. They're going to do the copycat offense like you talked about this whole podcast, is that it's do exactly what the Chiefs have done. Go out there, have as many targets you possibly can and try to score as many points as physically possible. And Denver's going to let it rock. And, you know, they're a team that could potentially go 9-7, 10-6, and you know, compete with the many targets that they have in an improved defense.
It took KJ Hamler from Penn State.
Penn State, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And he's your slot guy that just runs downfield.
He is a flyer. He is it's, I don't think that Drew Lock is Patrick Mahomes. Like, Drew Lock, I mean, we did not get nearly enough of Drew Lock for me to make a reasonable assessment on where he is at as a professional football player. And as a professional.
No, but he could be Pete Kirk Cousins.
So that's the thing. Like, if the standard is Kirk, we're talking
like 20, Pete Kirk, like good Kirk Cousins.
Like 24 to 28 touchdowns, like 10 interceptions. I think you'd take that from Drew Lock.
Yeah. And 4,000 yards.
Yeah, you'd take that from Drew Lock and you'd be happy with it, especially in his second year. Hell yeah.
Oh god, yeah.
Even if it's 3,800 yards. If it's 27 touchdowns, 3,800 yards and 11 picks, you'd be thrilled if that's your second year out of Drew Lock.
Shit, yeah.
And Cortland Sutton, 1,000 yards. Jerry Jeudy, you know, 800-900 yards. Noah Fant taking a big step forward. Let's not forget tight ends take a few years, and Noah Fant showed a ton of promise as a rookie. Like, there's...
When Drew started playing.
Absolutely not unreasonable to assume that the Broncos are going to be the Chiefs challenger in this division. Like, in my opinion, they are. I don't have any faith in what the Raiders are doing.
Oh, for sure.
The Chargers are getting ready.
No, and the Chargers are so far behind.
Oh, and the Chargers are getting ready to age themselves out. Like, Bosa's been in the league. Right. Ingram's only got a couple years left. Casey Hayward's only got a couple years left. Like, they're getting ready to age themselves out. They've got some young
Keenan's
talent.
Done.
Yeah, they've got some young talent on the roster, but those guys are mostly veterans. Like, the Raiders are young, but I don't have any faith in what Mayock and Gruden are doing. Like, I think what the Broncos are doing right now, they've got the most viable plan in place right now to directly compete with the Chiefs. I don't think that they're capable of genuinely competing with the Chiefs, but I think that those games will be fun. I think that those games will be interesting. Oh,
damn straight. I can't wait for those games. I'm ready. Plus, we get to watch Drew Lock, and I'll end on this. We can both go to bed. We get to watch Drew Lock, and this is what I've talked about on Out of Bounds on Saturdays that will return soon. But we'll get to watch Drew Lock turn from babyface to heel in Kansas City, a place that he grew up in and was prized. Grew up literally like four blocks from my apartment, right?
He's here right now. He's quarantining with his parents, apparently.
No, he is. I've seen in the window. Not that I've driven by. Just thought he was shirtless. But yeah, no, but I mean, like, we get to watch him become the bad guy, and the only way that you can become hated from a team that everybody likes is if you're A, good, 2, you brag about it, and 3, you can do it in a way that everyone can see it. And he can do all that with the team that they have built for the future. And I honestly can't wait. So if people hate on you for being sports horny about this matchup, because honestly, this is going to be so much fun. Because the Chiefs are always going to be better anyways, and they can chill out.
The Broncos are going to be baller. He's Dusty Likens. I'm Steven Serta. So we're going to start doing these more often, right? We're going to start once a week. Try to...
That's news to me.
Try to fill these guys in on what's happening. We'll talk about that later. This is Force the Punt. Please download the Radio.com app. Please subscribe to everything that we do. We will catch you guys next week.
Bigley got his mock draft wrong.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.